Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to another edition of Anchored in the Word Morning Reflection. And today we are continuing in James chapter 5. So if you have a Bible, I'd like to encourage you to pick it up and turn with me to James chapter 5. And we are looking at verses 7 down to verse 11. James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. Just take a moment for you to get there, and then we will pick up again in verse 7. Here's what James writes. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and later rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endured. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen that the end of the Lord is very pitiful and tender in mercy. When we read James 5, and we look at verses 7 through 11, we see some very practical and very important exhortations for us, particularly when we're dealing with this issue of injustice. And so, if you remember, when we went to the verses before us, we were looking at how those who were rich and powerful were abusing those who were poor and didn't have power in that society. And unfortunately, these Christians were in a position of weakness and they weren't able to defend themselves. There was absolutely nothing that they could do. And they were lamenting before God and they were saying, look at our plight, look at our situation. And so what we see is that in verses 1 to 6, basically, God is warning those who are abusing power, I'm going to deal with you in justice, and you need to be just toward my people. When we come to this passage, now he's going to look at those who are under the load of injustice, not the people who are abusing authority, but those who are being abused. How should we respond to those who are unjust in their dealings with us? Especially when it's not just a moment of injustice, but it's a long pattern of injustice. What are we supposed to do? And he basically gives us the answer in these verses. Here's a summary of what the verses say. We must patiently endure injustice, looking at the examples of godly people who have endured before us as we wait for God to act as the ultimate judge. Let me say that again. We must patiently endure injustice, looking at the examples of godly people who have endured before us, so that as we wait for God to act as the ultimate judge. And in this passage, he gives us several important truths that we can find, and I want to share with you a couple of them this morning. The first truth is this: we must be patient as we wait on God to intervene in situations. God is the ultimate judge in all situations. And the timing that God uses to step in and deal with the situation and right the wrongs may not be our timetable. Notice how he puts it in verse 7. Be patient, therefore. In other words, the statement, be patient, is connected to what he said in the verses before. In the verses before, God has basically warned those who are abusing their authority and abusing their power that he's not standing by idly. He's watching what's happening. And he's going to deal with it. He doesn't tell them when he's going to deal with it. He simply says he's going to deal with it, and they need to prepare themselves and make those issues right so that they won't be judged by God. So on the basis of what God has said to those people, he now focuses attention on those who are in the position of weakness, those who are being unjustly treated. And he says, be patient. God is going to intervene. Here's how he puts it in verse 7. He says, be patient unto the coming of the Lord. The husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the later rain. He uses the example of a farmer. And one of the things that's interesting, we don't live in a tropical climate here in Maryland, so early and later rain maybe doesn't make a lot of sense to us. But when I lived in a tropical region, when I was a missionary in Africa, we had two rainy seasons. The early rainy season was the heavy rainy season. And what would happen is things would kind of dry out a little bit. It would be cool. It would be a great time to grow things. And then there would be a second round of rain. And then after that, it would be dry and it would be hot. And basically, in climates like that, people plant at the beginning of the season and they go through this cycle, and then at the end, they harvest the product. Basically, what James is saying is, look, you have to go through the season. You have to go through the ups and the downs. It doesn't happen immediately. God is going to let the situation play out, and you have to trust him, and you have to patiently endure as God lets the situation unfold. And so the first truth that he reminds us of is that we have to be patient as we wait on God to intervene. A second truth, God's measured response should not be viewed as indifference. Now, when we say the term measured, what we mean is that God doesn't react immediately. God reacts at the right time. God deals with the situation when he believes it is best and right. And so the fact that God is not moving immediately in our minds, or we don't see the evidence of his immediate moving, doesn't mean that he's indifferent. It doesn't mean he's standing off to the side and he's unaware of the situation. He's not personally concerned about the situation. God is actively watching and beginning that process of intervention when he sees his people suffer. Here's how he puts it in verse 8. Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. That phrase means that it's imminent. It can happen at any moment. When God says, okay, enough is enough, he will step in and he will intervene. That means that we need to trust that though God has not moved yet, he's not indifferent. The third truth, our response under the pressures we face is very important. In verse 9, he says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. He's saying, listen, don't complain amongst yourselves. That word grudge not one against another means that we're not supposed to complain to one another. We're not supposed to take out our frustration on the people around us. We're supposed to patiently endure, trusting God, responding positively to the people around us. When God waits to intervene in a situation, when he is slow and measured in his response, he's not just giving space to those who are doing wrong to make it right, but he's giving us an opportunity to grow and to mature and to ultimately be found faithful. And the way that he puts it is, the judge is standing before the door. It's like you're sitting in the courtroom and you're just waiting, and all of a sudden, in walks the judge. He's standing at the door. He's waiting to step in. It's going to happen. It's imminent. So let's make sure that our responses under this pressure that we deal with, particularly with the people around us, is appropriate, because he's not just going to judge them and how they were unjust. He's going to judge us and whether or not we were faithful under that pressure and load. A fourth truth. The scriptures are full of examples that are meant to help us understand how real people who were faithful to the Lord handled injustice. The majority of the scriptures are giving us a record of people's lives, real situations that they dealt with, how they related to those circumstances, how they related to God, how God worked and intervened, God's perspective of those events and how people responded in them. The Bible is full of examples of how real people who wanted to serve God lived under oppressive situations. And the example that he's going to give us is Elijah. Elijah was a very isolated man when he lived. He was one of the few people that was publicly outspoken against the king, who was a very unjust, a very immoral man. Elijah spoke the truth, and Elijah suffered, and he felt very isolated. And what does he say? Elijah was faithful. And he's going to talk about Elijah later on. But the point is that we have lots of examples in the scriptures of people who patiently endured. We have examples of people who patiently endured and stumbled and got back up. Why do we have those things? Well, it's to teach us. It's to help us to understand that it's possible to patiently endure. It's to help us to understand how we respond when we stumble. Here's how he puts it in verse 10. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. He says, look, if you do right, there will be times that you suffer for that. And you may suffer for a season. It may be a very intense season. And you can endure patiently. Look at the examples in Scripture and learn from them. Follow them. Be encouraged by them. If we go to the Hebrews chapter 11, basically Hebrews 11 is the testimony of many people who patiently endured. And when we come to Hebrews 12, what does the writer say? He says, looking at this great cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us and run with patience the race that's set before us. He says, we have all of these people testifying to the fact that you can patiently endure. So look at their lives as examples and do the same. That's what he's saying. We come to a fifth and final truth that we'll look at this morning. And here it is. When God acts in justice, he will not only judge the wicked, but he will reward the faithful. That's an important thing for us to keep in mind. God's justice isn't just about him dealing with those who've done wrong. It's about rewarding those who've done right. It's about reminding people that he saw them and he strengthened them and he walked through those challenges with them. And because of their faithful endurance, there will be commendation from God. Here's how he puts it in verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Now, why is that? Because we have examples of it. And he gives us an example. You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. He says, look at Job's life. Job was a man who was very godly. He was very faithful. He endured. He struggled. The people that came alongside of him who were his friends to encourage him, they really discouraged the man. They rebuked him for things he'd not done. Job faced tremendous hardship. But by the end of the book, in spite of all the ups and the downs and all of the unanswered questions and all of the pain and the challenges that Job faced, at the end of it all, what does God do? God blesses Job. He blesses him for his faithful endurance. God actually adds to Job more than Job had before he went through those periods of suffering. And he basically says, look, when God allows you to go through injustice, and he is slow and measured in his response, if you will patiently endure, when the season is finished, you will have learned some wonderful truths about God's mercy, his compassion, his tender love for you. When you come through that circumstance or that season and you have patiently endured, at the end of it all, you will recognize that God is good. In fact, there will be a reward for your faithfulness and you can patiently endure knowing that that will happen, though it's not yet happened. So we've seen five truths this morning from this passage. What are some practical ways that we can apply what we've talked about this morning? Let me give you some simple thoughts that I jotted down this morning, and I hope they'll be a help to you. The first is this. God's people won't be free from difficult situations where they face injustice. The sad reality, the bitter pill to swallow, is that if we do right, there are going to be times that it's inevitable that we will suffer because of it, because we are living in a world where conflict with this world system is completely inevitable. A second practical thought, these situations will force us to patiently endure or rebel and become embittered. We can become more godly, we can become more humble, we can become more merciful, we can have a greater understanding of God's character and his love and compassion for us as we pass through these difficult seasons, or we can become bitter and resentful and hurtful. We can take out that bitter spirit on all the people around us. And so he reminds us, look, patiently endure so that in the end you will see God's goodness. Don't become embittered and take it out on the people around you. A third practical reminder is don't doubt God's love, mercy, and justice because of his apparent inaction. God's love and mercy and justice are always there, whether we see the evidence of it or not. He's at work, and sometimes we don't have the ability to see it, even though it's right before us. Sometimes we don't have the ability to see it because it's not yet been revealed to us. We can't see the details that are going on behind the scenes. But God's love for us is constant. His mercy is constant, and his justice is sure. And even when we don't see it, we need to recognize that it's there. And the final thing I'll mention is this. We need to learn from history. We need to look at the examples of people who went before us and look at how they went up and how they went down and how they stumbled and how they were strong and how they persevered. We need to learn from their lives because we are made of the exact same stuff that those individuals are made of. I hope that these things will be a help to you this morning. If you could, just share this, how it's been a blessing to you. Share it with a friend. And I hope that you'll have a great rest of your day. Let's bow together for a word of prayer, and Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to study the word together this morning. This is a very appropriate passage, very pertinent for your people in the day that we are living through. I pray that you will use it to strengthen and to encourage your people, and I pray that you would use it to bring honor and glory to yourself today. We ask for your blessing on each person's life, and we'll thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen. All right, it's been good to see you this morning, and Lord willing, we'll catch up with you the next time. Bye now.